Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
Yes, and welcome back to another edition of the Chili Dippers. I'm your host, Luke Clark. Sitting with me, as always, is a guy who loves a free sample of food more than anybody I know, Dave Ralston.
We were lucky. We're still down at Torquay, and we were lucky enough last night too. There was a huge festival, carnival.
Night Jar Market, every Thursday during summer.
The Night Jar Market, is that what it is?
Yep, Night Jar Market.
It was magnificent. It was really one of the great crowds of people ever put together.
Yes, it certainly was.
With a lot of food tents.
Yeah.
And when markets have food tents, they have samples. Yeah, and they want you to taste them.
and every time there was one, Dave just goes missing. And we had Troy Bussell with us. And every time was, where's Rolls gone? There must be a free food sample over there, because that's where I did.
I had some really nice chicken cabana. I had some horrible tea that I was disgusting. I had, what else? I had some popcorn in a few different varieties. I sampled quite well, thank you.
And we were at the market for a while. Rolls left a little bit early. Me and Troy made the silly mistake of going over to the Torquay pub till all hours in the morning. So I'm a little bit hungover again today. It's lucky Rolls. Lucky Rolls isn't hosting.
you were a bit dusty today on the course.
Yeah, I woke up real shabby. We actually went and played the Sands today, which is a sort of a resort style. Course down here in Torquay.
What's the go there? It was private. Now it's public. It's not ranked. It is ranked.
Yes, I think someone bought it out. And now, so the Golf Australia magazine rankings that we use, it's actually not ranked. Because at the time they considered it.
But it should be or will be.
It will be next time. Yeah, I think part of their thing is it has to be available for the public 4 days a week or more. And I think when those last rankings come out, it mustn't have been.
So the Sands is public on 2 days a week or something, did they?
Now it's pretty much a public course. So I'm assuming.
Should we just rank it? I thought it was top 40-ish in that 35 to 45 range.
Yeah, look, I'd have it a little bit outside that. I'd have it in the 50 to 60, but that's...
Yeah, that's close enough,
And look, I think it's the only course designed by Stuart Appleby, actually. There's five tee boxes. It's obviously called the Sands for a reason. There is bunkers everywhere. The greens are just surrounded by them. But
bunkered, very playable and all that sort. Now, we played it a little bit different today. We didn't just play. It wasn't just Luke and I playing. We were lucky enough to have some Chili Dippers fans come and play with us. We didn't even make them win a raffle or a contest like we should have. We just let them come and play. So I partnered one of them and Luke partnered the other in an Ambrose contest.
Yep, so it was me and Troy Bussell and Rolls teamed up with Chris Kemp.
Kempy. You knew Kempy. I didn't know his first name until just then.
Yeah, I didn't think about it.
Kempy, yes. So we figured those...
Two-person Ambrose.
Two-person Ambrose, which is good fun too, especially when we've been playing a bit of golf and want to take it easy and relax. Now, I still played in a semi-dumb-dumb fashion. I'm far from back by any means. As you remember last show, I announced that I was cooked and done. and I still played in pretty much that manner. If I played by myself today, it would have been horrible.
Yeah.
Hit a few good shots, but lucky enough.
Yeah, Kempy carried you around most of the way.
Kempy played his good shots when I played bad, but if he played a bad one, I was lucky to play a good
one.
You
actually did play good, yeah. And look, and I threw up about 50 times before getting onto course and threw up right before getting to the first two, so I wasn't in very good condition.
Was it Buss's first game ever?
He's played about five or six rounds.
That was out of line. Buss was a ripper. Buss was good. Buss did more than he should have.
He was good. He hit some really good shots. We were sort of behind that eight ball, but in saying that, I actually felt like I hit the ball okay, especially at the start. I went through a couple of whole period where the wheels fell off totally.
The problem was if you hit bad, then Buss hit bad as well. Yeah, you couldn't get your good and bad ones lined up where Kempy and I were lucky enough to get our good and bad ones lined up. So, as everything, we won't go through the scores or anything. Kempy and I won by a couple of holes.
You won up at the turn. We probably should have been one or two up, which was good.
There was one thing. We were a bit lucky to Well, I was lucky to finish in a pair because...
Oh, it was up there with one of the funniest things. And look, and I was only going to bring this up in one or the other, and I'm going to bring this up now.
Okay.
I was going to bring this up in one or the other. You're not the great... You're like driving cars, great.
You're a professional. Yeah, yep. Good, I can live with that.
I don't think you're very good at driving golf carts.
Well, the other day back at Black Bull, I had... Oh, when it was me and Fixer playing you and someone, I nearly drove into about eight bunkers.
I just the problem is you only have stop and go. You like full speed or stop. You, that's all you like. You just
did
go
I have
full
another speed.
Well, you can slow them down.
No, no.
Yeah, you well, are, every time we're bumping over, like, I'm getting off the seat over every sort of bump and. Yeah.
You know, well, that's why you drive most of the time.
And today so was...
What happened today was there was a very steep slope.
Elevator green, we just finished putting out on.
And there was a steep slope back down to the path.
Yes.
And I broke one of the stunt driver's rules, which is if you're going down a steep hill, go straight down.
Yes, you went on a 45.
I went on an angle and again was going way too fast. And what happened? So I realised I wasn't going great, so I said to Kempy... Oh, look, we're in some trouble here, Kempy.
And we're following
you. You're right behind us,
we're right behind you. You're going full speed. And when you hit the path and turn really sharply to hard left, Kempy... And look...
Kempy, this is where we differ. I reckon Kempy abandoned ship.
Kempy fell out of the cart in the bushes. Now, people who are listening... You might think we're making this shit up for entertainment value on the Chili Divers podcast, but this actually happened. Rolls took the corner and Kempy fell out.
Into the bush.
Into the bush.
Because the other side of the path was bush and fall away ground.
Took a slide, got up. I don't even think Rolls knew he was gone. You got about 10 metres before you actually stopped.
As I said, I remember saying to Kempy, I said, look, we're in trouble here. But I said that as a symbol to hang on, we'll be okay.
Not bail.
Fucking abandoned ship. He left me for dead. And you know what he said was? When he got back in, he said, I was better jumping out because if we rolled, you would have landed on me. And he was terrified of me landing on him.
Good smart thinking. Quick wit.
Did he handle it well? He was an absolute trooper.
The deck, slid, popped back up in one motion and started running as he did. He was running, jumped in the cart like it was nobody's business. You know what I was thinking? It was lucky you weren't at Curry Cliffs.
We'd never see him again. He would have been gone.
Yeah, he might have fallen 200 metres to his death.
In between, look, other things that happened was he missed a fairly easy putt on that hole.
I never thought I'd see that happen.
I still reckon it's on him. I reckon he abandoned ship.
Yeah, but you drive normal. He doesn't need to.
Oh, yeah, that's a point. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way.
No abandoned ship and no jump. He didn't jump in the bushes because he wanted to.
He was brave too. He did hurt his knee a little bit and he took some bark off, but he didn't say that.
Dirtied up his pants.
His pants were filthy. But he handled it very well. Look, all four next two shots were horrible. We were no good then.
I laughed the entire way to the next tee box. I'm crying now.
Look, yeah, as I said, it was one of those moral dilemmas. Like if you push a guy out of the boat, I felt bad, but I still felt he betrayed me a little bit in his early jump. I think he could have hung on.
Oh, Alec, and saying that, let's get back on the course a little bit. That was also the signature hole, and that topped it off. I thought
it was magnificent. Yeah, long par four.
It was the 14th, really nice hole. Look, and again, nice course.
If it was ranked in around the mid 40s or that sort of thing, 42, 3, 4, I wouldn't have argued. I would have thought fair enough. I really enjoyed it.
I think the back nine slot is better than the front, and it's fairly different too. The front nine looks more different. Yeah, like more sort of flat and sort of linked. When the back starts to get really elevated.
Really, yeah. Not so many good views from the tees, but a lot of good views from the greens.
Yeah.
I'm going to just try talking a little bit slower, a little bit easier.
Do some of your voice.
I've got another. I don't think the first voice coaching I did on air was received very well.
Right.
I do have another one prepared if we want to do it later today.
I'm happy to do
okay,
it.
Okay, it's got a small role for you in it too.
Okay, yeah.
So I did. I've been back to the voice coach. They've said just slow it down. Relax, get your letters in order, and we'll see how we go. All right, now I'm going to say, let's see if I can take it a bit easier.
Righto.
It was a very nice course that we enjoyed. They didn't miss us at the price box.
That lasted a while.
Price box. The cashier.
Price box.
We pay.
I know what you mean. Oh, shit. I'm too tired.
Yeah, they didn't miss us there. They got every bit out of us they could.
Oh, my shirt was cheap. I bought a shirt. It was $100 in the pro shop we at where we play
at
yesterday.
Settlers Run.
Kerr Lewis. but there it was 85 and the bloke...
Bit of a discount. It gave you 10 or 15% off or something.
Pretty happy with that.
That's handy.
But the pro shop's pretty good.
It was nice enough.
Actually, one thing I do want to mention is the logo. I reckon the logo of the Sands, which is like a surfboard, like it was just a sort of a line-drawn surfboard. Yeah. Then just, I reckon it's one of the better ones going around. Just wanted to throw it in there.
But even to the Ambrose is a great way to play, especially when we're all of different levels and all that sort of stuff. I don't know Kempy and Bus that well by any means, but it's just a great way to get into it like that. I really enjoyed that side of it. And it's a good thing to do when you're playing poorly, you can write.
Yeah, yeah. Good and of course like that too.
When you're about to travel back to New Zealand and you want your bag a bit lighter, it's a good way to lose a dozen golf balls too. So.
Yeah, you don't look for many. And because there were so many bunkers too, you'd just be playing out of bunkers all day, but Ambrose, we didn't play too many.
You can miss a few and all that. So, but yeah, no, I said the Sands is good enough quality, probably a bit pricey, but if you're down here and in the area, I'm not a worry in the world, you'd play that easy.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. All right, yeah, well, that probably sums up the Sands. Now, I want to hear this, the voice coach thing you were just
talking
about.
Let's
go to that if you've got that handy.
All right, so as you remember last time, I read out a quote from a movie.
A monologue,
and tried to do it with emotion, but in a controlled manner. I think my lack of control in my voice is the problem here. So I've got another monologue here.
Good.
To read out. I won't tell you where it's from or whatever, so if I do it properly, you should be able to tell me which actor and which movie.
Okay.
But it's structured in the manner that I say my first line. You just ask the question, do what? And then I'll read the rest of the monologue, all right?
Okay.
So let's see if I can and not do an American accent like last time. Okay, here we go. So I do it real good, you know.
You've already done a American accent.
Remember our good friend Robert Pinozzo?
Yeah.
He was directing a play at one stage, and I went to audition for it. And I thought, no worries, I'll get in this easy. And even Rob Pinozzo said, you're a great actor with your body, you just can't act with your voice. And he had me reading this thing over and over again. And I just couldn't get it.
Right,
so Snoz noticed this a long time ago. So it is a problem I've been having for a while. So we'll go again.
Start again.
I do it real good. You know. No, you made me with the accent. You made me think about the accent. Come on.
You tell me to go on. I'm doing something wrong.
All right. Come on. Let's get this right. Let's nail it. I do it real good, you know.
Do what?
When I was 19, I did a guy in Laos from 1,000 yards out. It was a rifle shot in high winds. Maybe 8-10 guys in the world could have made that shot. It was the only thing I was ever good at. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was an American accent the whole way through.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
How can I react in an American accent?
You go, if you're in Hollywood, you'd be right.
I don't know what that is.
I know the movie. Am I supposed to guess the movie?
Yeah.
Shooter.
No.
Oh, I was positive it was Shooter.
No, it's not.
No.
Looking at the words isn't going to help. It's not written there.
No, it was just written in the quote.
Yeah, again. Yep. Want me to do it again?
No.
I was only 19. I did a guy in Laos from 1,000 yards out. It was a rifle shot in high winds. Maybe 8, even 10 guys in the world could have made that shot. Only thing I was ever good at.
Nah.
Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon 1.
Oh, yeah, okay. I would have struggled to get that.
He's just had dinner with his friends and done that.
Yeah, well, that's a deep cut. Right. Lethal Weapon.
Acting? Still no good?
Nah.
All right, so I'll just go back to taking it slow and trying to emote correctly.
Yeah, I think.
Maybe my acting days are over.
I just can't believe you can't read that without an accent.
Do you want to try it?
You want to read it without an accent?
You act it. You act it.
All right,
if you can act it. What's my line? If you do what? All right.
Two words. I do it real good, you know.
Do what?
When I was 19, I did a guy. I can't even read your writing. Oh. In a what?
In Laos. Laos. Ah. It's a country near Cambodia.
In Laos, from 1,000 yards out, it was a rifle shot in high winds. Maybe 8, even 10 guys in the world could have made that shot. It was the only thing I was ever good at.
No, you read it. You read it, not acted it. No, that was shit.
All right. So that was that whole thing.
Let's move on.
All right. Well, let's go. What segment should we throw to now? Do you want to do some top four?
Top four. Okay, since we did actresses a week or so ago with our top four, and we've just been talking Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon and slaughtering that, we'll do our top four actors.
Actors. So again, not people who we think are the best four actors.
Just actors we like the most, but have to watchable. Be able to act and so
geez,
on.
I'm going to have to put a couple of them on this. You have to be able to act.
You go.
All right. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 written down here, so I'm going to have to cut a couple out.
Honourable, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a couple honourable mentions. Starting with the great Nicolas Cage.
Cagey.
The Chili Dippers love a good, so bad they're good, and he's the king of it.
National treasure, Con Air, The Rock, I tell you what he was magnificent in, that Leaving Las Vegas one.
Yeah. Academy Award win.
Well, there you go.
So, but it's been downhill ever since. Yeah, I've done a couple of good ones after that, but now he's...
Now, Cagey's a brilliant choice. And shout out to our mate Cagey.
Yes.
What's his real name?
Alec Tatnall. How do I get that new
Tats.
Yeah,
Tats. Shout out to Cagey.
Yeah. Okay, these are getting no order. I've got Ryan Gosling down number two. After the movie when he done Nice Guys, or The Nice Guys.
Oh, yeah, great show.
His comedy acting chops in that was fantastic. He really climbed up.
Have you got a little crush on him?
look, everyone on this. He's
really cool in that Nice Guys. He's very watchable. Right,
if we're talking man crush, we'll skip to my ultimate, Ben Affleck. The greatest actor of all time.
Always going to be on your list. Yep. Fair enough. Yeah, no, Ben's good.
Yep. So what have we done? Ryan, Nick Cage, Ben Affleck, Paul Rudd.
Wow.
Paul Rudd is so watchable. Regardless of what he's doing, he'd be good at reading that thing out with the
No, he's got that.
Four, isn't it?
Four and double ups.
Yep.
Honourable mentions.
Honourable mentions to Robbie Downey Jr.
Yeah, yep.
Jake Gyllenhaal. He's, I said in a couple of pods ago, he's entered just the roles he chooses are just a little bit.
Source Code was a good one there. I love that.
Yeah. People will be surprised Will Smith wasn't on that list, which
I'll be stunned.
Yeah, he was on the short list.
Didn't make it?
Look,
It's funny, I think most of mine are... KG's pretty old. Mine might be a generation older than yours. My top four, I got Baldwin. Alec Baldwin.
Yep.
I did. He's just magnificent. He's good. He just controls scenes with power. Like, in 30 Rock, he's hilarious. But the little cameo police things he's been doing, like in the gangster one with Jack Nicholson, Departed. Yeah. He's got a part in Departed.
I was just going to leave you to get that one.
Yeah, no, I'll get him. And even in Pearl Harbor, he's got a bit where he's training things, and he just nails that stuff. He's brilliant. Tom Cruise, of course.
Yes.
Just quality and quantity. Just keep pumping them out. Costner.
Kevin Costner, yeah, good one.
Sports
good
one, movies, rom com. And again, he's been serious lately. Done the FBI cover guy who helped out Chris Pine in that one. And Draft Day, all that sort of stuff. He's brilliant. So that's three. And my number one guy, he hasn't got a heap of great movies, but what he does is all brilliant.
Number one guy.
Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum. He explores the vertical, not just the horizontal.
So, and also the person who you want playing in the movie of your life.
I want Jeff Goldblum to play me in my life story. Yeah, I just, he's brilliant. And my honourable mention, and you'll agree with this too, I'm sure, Hugh Grant.
Yeah, oh.
Gets taken for granted. And he's brilliant. Everything he's entertaining to watch.
Notting Hill, look, it's not one of those things you like, you want to say and have, but Notting Hill is in my top 10 films of all time. And you watch it now, it is still super watchable.
The underrated one, and I think you'll agree with this too, is that 4 Weeks Notice.
Yeah, yeah.
He's brilliant in that. But all of them, he's Hugh Grant in all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's really good.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. No,
So there we go. There's a short, sharp top four actors.
Very good. All right. I think we might just roll straight into the next segment, which I've got one here for you, Rolls. This is my segment, Would You Rather?
Would you rather?
So you throw scenarios at me and I see if I can figure out whether I'd do them or not do them or what the go is there.
Yeah, hang on, I'm not very prepared. I haven't got the right page up. Let me find them. Give me one sec.
Yeah, no worries. That's a...
Right, yeah, here we go. I've got them, I've got them. Okay. Number one. This is start with the golf one.
Yep.
See, it's a golf podcast. Would you rather tee up every putt or never tee up any drive? So hit and drive off the deck.
I would. I'd not tee up the drive, and so I can just take 3 wood off the tee all day.
No, you got to hit driver.
Still got to hit driver.
Yep.
Oh gee.
Yep. Hit and driver off the deck.
Hit and driver off the deck.
Or tee up.
Well, again, you could tee them up pretty low.
Tee what up?
The putts.
No, you can't. You got to tee them up like driver height.
I think I'd tee up the putts.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Yeah.
Because get off the tee is fairly important. Like, I reckon you'd learn to nip them off
that tee. Yeah. As I said, if you could just take 3 wood off, because I can hit 3 wood off the deck, all right. So, yeah, do that.
But you got that right.
Yep.
So, I'm changing this around to style where there's only right.
There is a right and wrong, all right.
Okay. Would you rather be able to detect any lie you hear or get away with any lie you tell?
I'd prefer to detect lies because I assume that doesn't impede my already ability to get away with a lot of lies like I do. I'd prefer to be able to detect lies. I'd really prefer to, if I'm telling the truth all the time, that's good. I can live with that. So yeah.
Have you seen the movie The Invention of Lying?
Yeah.
Where they play in the roulette and he just puts his money on the number and gets away with it?
Yep.
I think you're wrong. Moving on.
All right.
Yep. Okay. Third one. Would you rather win $50,000?
It's going to be tough to beat.
Or have me win $500,000?
Oh, gee whiz.
I've been waiting to ask this.
Or you win $500,000. Me win $50,000 or you win $500,000. Oh, that's tough. Look, me win 50. It's me win 50, yeah. Because I can retire on that. 500,000 just a couple of months' wage for you, and you just keep going. So 50 affects my life more than 500 affects yours.
Yeah, no, look, you're right.
Yeah,
that's right. Answer, because if it'd be different if the two things were there. There was 500,000 for me and 50 for you, and you walked, pushed me out of the road and grabbed your 50 and left.
Yeah.
But not knowing that I wouldn't know that I had 500,000.
And if it was 5 million or something for you, it's a different story.
Yeah.
But I'll take the 50. Sorry, mate.
All right. We'll wrap this up. Last one here. Would you rather get fish and chips for tea tonight or pizza?
Pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah, all day.
All right, that's the right answer. All right. I just wanted to know what we're having for tea later.
In another one, I remember I had a Watch Better Pizza or something, and I basically said it didn't matter what the other one was, pizza would win.
Very good. All right, well, that's what's better. Okay, moving on. Rolls, you said at the start, before we started recording, you wanted to say something. You had something to...
Yeah, I want to discuss something with you, run something by you and see how you felt about it, all right? A good friend of the show, Mark Goody.
Goodza, shout out to Goodza.
Goodza, ripper. Was playing in his club championship, a 2-day event at his club that he's a member at.
This is in Sydney somewhere?
In Sydney, yep. He had, with handicaps or whatever, 4 under off on day one, so he was leading. So he was paired, instead of playing with his mates like he did on day one, on day two he played with the guys who were coming second and third, blokes he'd never met, as you do in day two. Good's reasonably new to golf, but plays enough of it and all that, but hasn't played heaps and heaps for years and years. He said these two guys, biggest assholes he's ever met.
Really?
Wouldn't talk, not friendly, sort of were rude as all buggery. Then one of them abused him for standing semi behind the other guy while he was putting. Which Good just said he just happened to be standing there.
It wasn't
standing there to get a read. Now, is it is it completely illegal to stand behind a guy to get a read, or just rude and not accepted?
I don't know, but I'd imagine it's not in the rule book. It might be considered rude.
When we're playing, we'll say, oh, hang on a minute, I want to get a read.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. So this bloke abused him for that and that sort of thing. And then the main thing that happened was Goods has marked his ball for a putt, gone away. The other guy putted. Goods went to put his ball down and putt. And the guy said, two-shot penalty. Goods said, why? What are you talking about?
What do you do?
He said, you mark the ball in front when you picked it up and then put the ball in front of the marker. So he said, you've gained a centimetre there. That's a two-shot penalty. And Goodger said, well, Goodger first said, I didn't do that. And if I did, it was completely unintentional and whatever. So Goodger didn't know whether he did or not, because he's just playing in a very, still, even though it's club championship, playing in a casual, relaxed manner.
Yeah.
And the guy, and the third guy, he said to the third guy, did you see it? And the third guy goes, oh, no, I was looking over here at the kangaroo sitting on the ground. So he didn't see it. So Goodza got a... So this guy said, two-shot penalty, no worries. So he said, even if he did it on purpose or even if he did it not on... He's gained a centimetre in a three-metre putt, big deal. But yeah, if just for marking the ball...
The problem I have with that, and look, again, I'm assuming Goodza didn't... So let's say he did do it. Let's say it happened.
He did it, but without in the intention of cheating. Right. He just did it by accident. Because he can mark... I'd mark it to the side, the back, whatever. Right. Let's just say he did do it.
The problem I have with it is, why did this guy say something before he putted it? That's what I hate.
Yep.
Pull him up and say, oh, hang on, buddy, I think you might have marked it. And then even if Goodza thinks that this bloke's wrong,
Goodza will say, no worries.
You can move the ball back and say, because
he would say, sorry. Goodza would say, sorry, if I did that, I'll do it. Yeah. Yeah. So that, and in the end, Goodza's lost the club championship. He's got that two-shot penalty.
Oh,
lost the club championship by 1 point.
Brilliant. That's like someone teeing up in front of the tee, which I do. I must admit, I'm hopeless. A lot of times I'll tee up, and especially when I'm playing with James, he sort of just, Clarky, just bring it back a couple of seconds.
I've often picked up the markers and moved them forward for the guy, sort of thing. But again, no one's... It's a 408-metre hole. You're trying to gain 6 centimetres on the tee. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, but so here's it. It said, and what he mentioned to me was... We always mention we met these blokes on the course, weren't they great blokes and all that? And we've yet to miss. Every time we hook up with a bloke or two on the course, they're ripping, friendly, easygoing blokes. There's never been put that ball there, pick that up there, any of that sort of stuff.
You're
looking for it in the bush, don't, whatever.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. So good, just copped. Now, it might be Sydney. There's a lot of wankers in Sydney.
Yeah.
they might have just been jerks. He was more upset that he was playing with jerks in the way he was treated than losing the club championship.
And the thing is, because Goods is such a good fella, I couldn't imagine these blokes having some like a reason to be jerks to him. So they're jerks.
They're jerks. Don't worry about them. Keep playing. You'll be right.
All right, so...
So I just wanted to get that off
the chest. That's interesting.
Right. Again, I'm obviously on Goods' side, but I would just like to get another opinion that it sounds like he's hardly done by.
Yeah, all right, look, 100% agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Good. No worries. Thanks for that, mate.
All right, so we're at the 28-minute mark. Now we're going to probably wrap this up. One little thing before we go away that I want to bring to your attention. I want you to say something. The Torquay weather. On one of our original podcasts, you said that it's always windy. Today was magnificent.
It's been great since we've been down here.
Sunny, really no wind, which very rarely happens.
I even suggested I might go in the water tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the temperature's supposed to be 42 degrees, which is ludicrous up here. Mm. And Rolls...
We've been blessed with the weather.
I wanted you to admit that because that's...
All right.
All right, well, I think that's probably this podcast. We could nearly wrap this up.
I'm going to lace into the rocky road I've got left in the fridge.
And then... Thought we were going to go eat some pizza.
Yeah. the one doesn't necessarily cancel out the other.
All right, good.
Thanks, mate. See ya.
Driving down the highway, headed to the range. Gonna knock them out strong, but I'm feeling no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, where the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. That's a place for you, if you're just like me. I'm Chad Rich, yelling at the TV. Couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash.